If you have your Bibles again with you, device, phone, iPad, whatever you might have, would you look again at Acts 22, verse 21? One of my critics this week said that it was time for me to move on from this passage of Scripture. I promise you that I will after next week. Words. What's your word? Acts 22, 21. Then he said, that being Paul, Jesus spoke to him and he said, depart from me, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. And they listened to him until this word. And they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from this earth. Why should he be allowed to live? He's not fit to live, they said. And the people said, amen. You may be seated. Continuing in that list of words, I only have one more maybe two, but I think one, that I want to talk to you about. And that word today that I want to talk to you about is the word peace. Peace. What I discover from time to time is that word peace resonates a lot of different things in the minds of people. When I say that word peace, what does it mean to you? Some of us automatically go to military might and say, I guess we've said already this morning, thank God for the fact that we live in a free nation. And the people have been willing to go and serve our country in times of war, in times of peace, to be sure that our nation remains in peace. What resonates in your mind when I say the word peace? There are a lot of people who don't have peace in their life. I encounter them quite a bit in my profession, unfortunately. There are those that I run into that are kind of in constant turmoil. There seems like there's always something going on in their life that disrupts the peace that they want to have. I run into people who've said to me, you know, in my lifetime, nothing goes right. You ever run into anybody like that? Maybe some of you here today. Maybe you'd say, you know, in my lifetime, it just hadn't gone well. Well, I want to talk to you about that word peace. Some have decided that that's just their life. I talked to a guy about 3 weeks ago in town at a store at Walker County Hardware, if you got to know. If you need hardware, that's where you need to go. Stay away from the big boys. Go there, and they'll take care of you. I was in there talking to this guy, and we were talking, and as I began to listen to him, his life was a story of gloom and despair. In fact, there have been times that I would get with my wife, and I'd say, I ran into gloom and despair today, and I would sing that song, remember? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. I run into people from time to time, but that's just how they live. And I wonder how it is to live that way. I wonder how it is to go that through life and really believe that that's just what they've been dealt. That's the cards they have. So that's the cards they got to play. And what happens a lot of times from the pulpit or in conversation or wherever you might be, what happens in my profession, I say the word peace, and it's that word, that one word, that slams the door shut, and they don't hear anything else. Because they live their life in turmoil, and as I said, decided that's just how it's going to be. They've got this attitude about them that just says, I'm never going to have peace, so I don't want to hear about peace. I don't want you to preach to me about peace. I don't want you to talk to me about peace. And if you're here today, I hope you'll give me just a few minutes to talk about that word peace and what it means for you and I to know peace. It doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to live your life in misery. You don't have to live your life in fret and worry and concern about the peace that ought to be in your soul. You don't have to live that way. Back a few weeks ago, my brother-in-law was in the hospital. I went by to see him. You know the story. I went by to see him that day, and then I made my way on down to Conroe. My brother was in the hospital, and I was praying for both of them. And that day, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, my sister called, and she said, my husband is gone. He'd passed away. And you know, I'll be real honest with you, I kind of bit my jaw and I thought, man, here I am down here in the hospital in Conroe with my brother. He's not doing well. They got him on all kinds of machinery. I don't know how this is going to go, but there's my sister there in Huntsville and her husband just passed away. Gloom and despair and agony. Well, I stayed there. We had an event going on at the fairgrounds. Brother David led our team out at the fairgrounds. We were involved in that big deal that we do every year, getting to feed all those people. And thank God it didn't rain this year. And I'm down there with my brother. I know my brother-in-law has passed away. And I'm thinking, man, I need to go out there, at least check, at least show my face and let the church know that I care about what's going on out there. And I went in and talked to my brother. And I said, I think I'm going to go. And I never left. Because that night, about 10:25, the Lord carried him home. Now, I got to be honest with you. There for a minute, I thought, there's no peace. Gloom and despair has struck my life. I don't know how I'll bear the things I have to bear in the weeks that lie ahead. But you know what I did? I found me a quiet place, got on my face before God, and asked him to empower me. And that next week, I had my brother-in-law's funeral on Wednesday, my brother's funeral on Friday, and God has lifted us up since then. You do not have to live in gloom and despair. Amen. Now, from time to time, there will be things happen in our life that cause gloom and despair, but let that be a temporary thing. It does not have to be a continual way of life. I've had conversations with people who will say to me that they're in turmoil, they don't have peace in their hearts, they don't have peace in their soul, and then they go on to tell me why. I'm going to write a book someday, and I'm going to put your name in it. And I'm going to tell the world why you feel like you don't have happiness, why you feel like you don't have peace. Sometimes I hear those excuses and reasons, and I'm looking here at Brother Cliff and some of you guys who've counseled a lot of people in your life, and I think about the numbers of people who come to me and just say, I just don't have peace in my life. And you want to tell them about the ultimate peace giver, but they don't want to listen because it's just that way in their life. So I want to spend some time with you more in introduction this morning than preaching, okay? The sermon comes at the end today, okay? So we'll get up and leave. If you get up and leave, you're going to miss it. I want to introduce this thing, and I want to give you an opportunity to think about this, and I want to begin by saying to you, what is peace? What is peace? Well, here's a fancy determination. Peace is freedom of the mind and the heart from annoyance, distraction, anxiety, and obsession. That's how Webster defines peace. Peace, as I think about my own life, is the desired atmosphere. How many of you would rather feel better than feel bad? Oh, you're getting it. Yeah. Anybody just want to feel bad all the time? Some of you almost raised your hand. You don't have to live in misery. You can be free in peace, free in the mind, free in the heart, free of annoyance, free of distraction, free of anxiety, free of obsession, and it goes on and on and on. Peace, I believe, just from what I learned, and I figured that already, is a desired atmosphere in the life of most people. I prayed for peace in Philippians 4:7 with people a lot of times. Just the other day when Randy Yancey, who incidentally his services will be this coming week, Tuesday night visitation at Herod Oaks Funeral Home, and then the service here on Wednesday. I prayed with Brenda that day, a prayer that I prayed with many of you that I'm looking at this morning. I prayed for that Philippians 4:7 kind of peace, the peace that would go beyond understanding of the world. Because listen, when you lose somebody that you love, and some of you are married to, Brenda and Randy have almost been married 50 years, and I told her we're just going to call it 50 years. It's close enough. She lived that long with Randy. We don't have to live in misery. People, I discover, for the most part, as I asked you a few months ago, really, really want to live in peace. They really want to have that peace in their heart. They really want to feel good about life. Most people want to live in peace with themselves and others around them. Now, a lot of times people say that they want peace of mind, and they want peace of mind in given situations. There are situations, there are buzzwords, there are things that can be said that is that word we've been talking about, just throw people off the track. But I know people who say, you know, I really want to have peace in my life. I just don't want to hear this word or hear this conversation. If I hear that conversation, I kind of lose track. How many times in my life? Those of you who have been witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've been out knocking on doors, or you've been in the coffee shop, or you've been on the job, or you've been in the parking lots, and you tell something about Jesus, you've heard this. I don't know how many times, I honestly couldn't begin to count it. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, I have made my peace with God. You ever heard that? And you start talking to them about what that looks like, and sometimes you discover as you go down the road, they really don't know what they're talking about. Praise God, some do. In fact, I find the majority of them do, but sometimes people think that's just a statement, I've made my peace with God. Peace is desired. Most of us in this building would rather have peace than we had to have hell, right? Preacher, did you just say that? I did. A lot of times, we allow certain things to rule our life, and it really does become an unpeaceful situation. Often, what happens is Satan comes along. Let me stop just a second. There are people that I talk to that say they believe in Jesus Christ, and they report that they know Christ as their Savior. I'm amazed the number of people want to talk about angels. But you know what I discover? If you start talking about the devil, sometimes Baptists kind of back up. I wanted to this morning, before I ever started the service, to go over to that door, open it up, and command Satan to leave. But let me tell you something, he's in this building. Now, are you saying one of us are a devil? I hope not. Let me look just a second. But I'll assure you he's here. And here's the situation. There is a robber, there is a thief, there's one who does not want you to be free, and that's Satan. I never capitalize his name in my notes. I never capitalize the pronoun he when I'm talking about him. When I'm talking about Satan, I never do that. Because there are those who think that somehow or another Satan doesn't exist. Friends, Satan exists, and you are the one he wants. Your arch enemy is Satan himself. And the only way, watch this, I'll say it again later, but the only way Satan can defeat you or get into your life, if you know Christ, is you let him. You let him. Oh, am I stronger than Satan? You are. Because of the blood of Jesus. Remember not too long ago I wore my red shirt, told you my camo shirt? The blood of Jesus puts me in a perspective that I can command Satan to get out of my life. And there are times you don't want to be with me because you think I'm crazy, because let me think I'm crazy anyway. I just stop what I'm doing and say, devil, that's it. Get. Amen. So that's kind of silly. No, listen, I found it great. Does great things in my life. Because here's what happens. In the lives of a lot of people who really want to have peace, Satan has ruled their lives, and many come to a place convinced that it can't be any different. And what has happened is Satan has kind of hung a millstone around your neck. Maybe it's something in the past. Maybe it's something in the present. He's kind of hung a millstone around your neck and said to you, you can't be better. But let me tell you something. No matter what happens in your life, you can have peace in your heart if you know Jesus Christ. Amen. More to follow on that subject. There are many, many, many different kinds of peace. If we were to take the time this morning to start over here with my wife and finish up over here with Andy or some of them on the front row over here, we'd find all kinds of definitions about peace. There's a lot of different kinds of peace. People would say peace is this and peace is that. Well, let me share something with you. There is a peace that we like to have when we get along with each other. In fact, David said in Scripture in the book of Psalms, behold how beautiful, how lovely it is for God's people to dwell together in harmony. Being in harmony brings peace. Being in harmony in my home with my wife brings peace. Being in harmony in the church brings peace. Being in harmony on the job brings peace. There's a certain amount of peace that comes in harmonious living, in our marriages, in our families, our relationships. But sometimes that peace gets disrupted. And it gets disrupted and interfered with because Satan, your arch enemy, is after you. And sometimes heartache comes. And we allow that heartache to overwhelm us. I was talking to somebody the other day. I was talking about a person in their family that had passed away. And what I discovered is they do kind of like we do COVID. We're talking about things now. We say, well, that was before COVID. That was after COVID. That was during COVID. We let COVID be our marker. This person I was talking to had lost somebody in their family, and everything in their life was measured by before death and after death, or during death. They didn't have me in the hospital marked by that. Listen, you don't have to live that way. Satan wants you to stay that way. So I think it's good to remember those who have gone on before us. I think it's good to remember them, but don't let that memory bring you down to a place where you lose all peace in your mind. There are people today that do that. We want to be in harmony with our marriages, our families, our friends. But listen, the thief of peace comes in and steals that. I thought about some supreme examples in Scripture. I'm not going to take the time to tell you all the story, but I'm going to tell you where it is. But don't look it up now. There was a guy named David in the Bible, King David. He found himself in conflict with his son. Have you ever been in conflict with somebody in your family? My sweet mama was 54 years old. My daddy died at 60. They had about $1.98 in the bank. 54 years old. I'm 69 today. I've been on earth longer than my mother was there when she'd been married to my daddy. She married him at 14. No, I'm sorry. They got married at 15. She turned 15 on the 18th day of October. They married on the 22nd day of October. My mother, after my daddy died, went stark, raving mad. Have you ever known anybody that way? Y'all are looking at me spiritual. You ever known anybody like that? All of a sudden, my mother, 54, was like she was 16. Started going to places like Borsky's. Y'all know where Borsky's is? How do y'all know? Ted, you know where Borsky's is? And let me tell you, it caused great turmoil. And my peace was gone. And then my mother kind of got on the lam. I'm not sure what that means, but she left town. And she wound up down in Galveston. And she wound up here, she wound up there. And for five long years, the peace that I desired to have with my mama, my mother, didn't exist. The very first person that I baptized in that sanctuary we moved out of was my mother. Let me tell you, we prayed. We said, oh God, bring us that peace. God, send her home. God, get things right. And she came home, and I want to tell you that she finished strong. She had a time in her life when she got out there. You ever been out there? I've been out there. Thank God he brought me home. There's a thief of peace in your life, and he's Satan. David was having trouble with his son. Some of y'all had trouble with your son. I've never had any trouble with my son. The only trouble I have with my son is I don't like to go hunting with him because he outshoots me. Things like that. But David had trouble with his son Absalom. And 2 Samuel records it for us in 2 Samuel chapter 15. It's really two chapters there that tell us a story about midway through the 17th chapter of 2 Samuel. Absalom had rose up against his daddy in a coup. He was going to take the kingship. And so he got people to him and gathered people with him, and he kind of became a force. And David fled from Jerusalem. He left Jerusalem, the capital city, because Absalom came in, and he left. And when he got out there in the middle of nowhere, the battle broke out. And word got to David that Absalom was dead. Hanging by his hair, remember? I'd be all right. Absalom got hung by his hair in a terebinth tree. And they killed him hanging there. When David heard about it, it broke his heart. You ever been separated from somebody in the family? Just no peace. I want you to understand that our God wants you to have peace. And he restored that peace to David. In fact, we find David along the way really crying out for his son, oh, Absalom, 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 my son. Yet Satan had slipped in and separated things. King had no peace in his heart when he and his son were separated. Peace gets interrupted. Gets interrupted by Satan. And when peace gets disrupted and interrupted, grief comes in our heart. And sometimes when we have this interruption of peace, sometimes it comes about because of our own doing. Now you're looking at me real spiritual. We don't want to take responsibility for anything we do, right? But sometimes we have this lack of peace in our life because of things that we've done. And grief comes upon us when we realize that our peace is being interfered with. But what happens is a lot of times we do something kind of out of character. You ever done that? You do something out of character. You fail to do something that you know you ought to do. Or you do something you know you ought not do. And it interferes with your peace. These failures of upset, of peace in our life, they come about because of ourselves sometimes. There's all kinds of stories in Scripture. Can I share with you a couple? Y'all remember Moses? I'm going to have me a conversation with Moses one of these days. See, I'm going to see him when I get to heaven. I don't know if it'll be 3, 4, 5 million years once I'm satisfied with everything else, I'm going to go talk to Moses. I want to ask you, Moses, what got into you that day when the Lord told you to go out there and speak to that rock at Meribah and water was going to come forth? Why did you do what you did? You know why he did it? Lost his temper. Ain't none of y'all ever lost your temper, huh? I've discovered that oftentimes when I lose my temper, my mouth gets in gear before my brain ever starts. And I say things I wish I wouldn't have said. And I do things I wish I wouldn't have done. There's Moses, and instead of commanding that rock, he strikes it with a stick, his staff, two times. And Moses basically, Cooksey translation here said, boy, why didn't you do what I told you to do? And it cost Moses greatly. I think about David again. 2 Samuel chapter 11, one of the most famous stories of all the scripture, his fleshly desire and lust for a woman, Bathsheba, cost him a lot. In fact, the rest of his life, even though God had forgiven him, even though he went on to do great things for the Lord, even though God went on and said, he's a man after my own heart, had done some pretty silly things. He goes out on a rooftop that day and looks out across the rooftops, and there he sees this beautiful woman, and she's bathing. She doesn't have a string suit on. She's bathing. She's naked. And David, being the king, says to one of his servants, hey, I want her. No questions asked. They go get her, bring her to the king. He has an adulterous affair with her that even leads him to murder. And we discover the peace had gone out of him. Fleshly desire, lust, had robbed him of his peace. Then think about Peter. All four Gospels, the Synoptics and John, tell us about Peter. Peter loved the Lord. In fact, it was Peter who said, I love you, Lord. More and more and more, he said, I love you. In fact, when Jesus asked the question, what do people say about me? Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of a living God. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, before the rooster crows, before the alarm clock goes off, before the iPhone makes a sound in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, Lord, not me. I'll die with you, but I won't deny you. Three times he denied the Lord. Peace was gone from him. He was miserable. I love the story. It's so short and quick in Scripture. I wish there was more to it. I'm going to ask about this someday. Peter is running down to the tomb after Jesus is resurrected and he encounters the Savior. And there was a meeting that took place between the one who had denied and the one who had been denied. And the one who had denied was forgiven completely by the one who had been denied. I want to see that someday. Peter momentarily lost all of his happiness, all of his peace, because he had turned out to do just exactly what Jesus said. So, all that said about peace, this thing is introduced now. You understand I want to talk to you about peace. Well, if I've talked about all these things that compromise and challenge peace in our lives, I've got to leave you with how to have that peace in your life. I've got to bring you to a place where you understand that you may be here today and you may be in turmoil. There may be things going on in your life, illness. There may be financial issues. There may be issues in your marriage. There may be all kinds of things going on that absolutely have robbed you of the peace that you want to have. So I would be amiss if I didn't tell you what I believe, and I just want to share my heart with you. You don't have to believe this way. You can be wrong. It's all right. I think there are several things you need to know about having this peace, and all this said about peace. How do you find peace? How do you find it, and how do you keep it? Well, I got to start with the foundation. Brother Mark, the other day, I pulled out the building plans for this building. I forget how many hundreds of yards there are just in the foundation of this building. Anything that you build that's going to amount to anything has got to have a good foundation. Your life is no different. The peace that you desire to have in your life is no different. You've got to have a foundation in your life, and that foundation is none other than knowing that you have found the Lord Jesus Christ and you have confessed your sins to him and invited him into your heart to be your Savior. It doesn't mean that you go to the Lord and say, well, Lord, I'm a Baptist. He don't care. Lord, I'm a Methodist. He don't care. Lord, I'm a Church of Christ. Surely that matters. He don't care. It doesn't matter if you go to him and say, hey, I'm a good Catholic. Most good Catholics I encounter don't ever go to church. Jesus died for the church. We ought to go. We ought to honor him by going to the thing that he died for. I'm amazed at the number of people who just say, well, I just don't have happy. Listen, if you know Jesus, if you know that you know Jesus, there's one verse of scripture I want to point out to you, and that's John 14:27. Jesus said, not Reagan, not some angel, not Michael, not Gabriel, Jesus said, peace I give you. So if you want to have peace in your life, you got to have Jesus in your life. And if you have Jesus in your life, the Bible tells me that Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives I unto you. I leave you with peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I give you peace. That means that no matter what the devil throws at you, if you got Jesus and you know that you know that you know that you know that you know, Satan can't get to you. The only way that Satan can get to you and rob your peace is you let him. You wave the flag and say, come on, get me. You don't have to live that way. You can have peace that endures and peace that lasts. Lasting peace comes from Jesus Christ. You got to keep your eyes on the Lord. If you want to have peace in your life, you've got to keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't allow sudden, momentary things to disrupt the peace that you have in Jesus. I did not see that Saturday that I talked about a few moments ago, a few weeks before it happened. I did not see that. I did not see my brother-in-law, and I did not see my brother dying on the same day. I didn't see that. And it would have been very easy, and I thank God for the many cards and emails and texts that you sent me and said, we're praying for you, thank you. That's what gets us through. I had no idea that was going to happen that day. I could have allowed that to disrupt me. There's still people that think there's something wrong with me because I wasn't so disrupted. I'm not disrupted because I know that I know that I know Jesus. I know that I know my brother knew Jesus. I know where they are. I'm going to see them someday. That's the peace that's in my heart given to me by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't have to live that way. Keep your eyes on the Lord. I love Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you. You just keep your eyes on Jesus. Know him. Know that you know him. Know that you invite him in your heart. Know that even like Randall Bird said this morning, I'm here to be baptized because I've been saved by Jesus. Know that you know that. Amen. And once you know that, keep your eyes on Christ. He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind, whose eyes, whose brain, whose life is stayed on Christ. I run into more Christians who are not having peace in their life because they're looking somewhere else instead of looking at the face of Jesus. Keep your eyes on Christ. You can maintain that peace in your life that comes from knowing that you let your mind, let everything about you be stayed on Jesus. Focus on him. Get to know him. Have a relationship with Jesus. It's one thing to know Christ and to even know that he saved you. And a whole other thing to have a relationship with. Get in the Word of God, get on your face and pray. Attend church, be faithful and regular in serving the Lord, and be faithful and regular, be under this preaching of the Word of God. And it's amazing. Be faithful to sing, be faithful to lift your voice and praise God every opportunity you get. And I promise you, that peace that Christ gives you will maintain itself in your life. He will provide you with perfect peace. Man, that's great. I've got this done before 10:30. Isn't that amazing? Because I got another sermon now. It's just parenthetical. So what we got here is we have a series in the book of Acts with a parenthetical sermon on words. And now I got to give you a parenthetical sermon on the words parenthetically. You got it? You got to hear this. If you want that peace, you got to understand that we, say I. Say it again. I have to know there are some things that I cannot do if I'm going to have that peace in my life. There's some things I got to avoid. There's some things that I cannot do because Christ is in me. Oh, I can do them. But if I do, I'm going to pay the price. I love Paul in Thessalonians. Paul's speaking to Thessalonican believers, and those believers Every time I read about the Thessalonians and the Corinthians, they are so much like us. There are so many things in their world that are going on in our world, and they're so much like us. And why I go here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and Paul, I mean, this has jumped. I've read this scripture. I don't know how many times this has jumped out of me. You want to maintain peace in your life, have peace between you and the Lord, have peace in your life, have all those things we desire, that we say we desire. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. What's that mean? That means you can't be a fool. That means you can't say that you know the Lord and act like a fool. So you ought not use that word fool. Jesus used it, and when he used it, he was describing those who would turn their back on him. If you don't keep your eyes on Christ and you walk away from him, you quench the Spirit. And if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is quenched in your life, people say, well, we Baptists, we don't talk much about the Holy Spirit. We may have a problem. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit in your life matters. And you not quenching the Spirit matters. See, Jesus will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But I believe, and I'm going to get myself in trouble. I know this already. Just email me, text me, but do it Tuesday. I'm going to be off tomorrow. I believe with all my heart, while you cannot run Jesus off, you can get the Holy Spirit stifled in your life. Well, why would you say that? Because Paul said, don't quench the Spirit. What's the word quench mean? Put it out. Settle it down. Don't do that. If we want to have peace, we don't quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecy. Well, who's the prophet? Well, I'm not a prophet. I'm barely a preacher. But don't despise the words that are spoken from God's word. Be sure that you don't despise those things, because if you despise those things, then you're despising the Lord. And if you despise the Lord and quench his Spirit, there's not going to be any happiness. I like what Paul said next. He said, test all things. Have you ever done anything you knew was wrong before you ever did it?
Yeah.
I have. I've even said some things I've thought out. Not spur of the moment things. Not something I can blame on my temper. Things I've premeditated. kind of thought them out. Knew they were wrong before I said them. What you must do is be sure that you test all things. In other words, if you feel it, test it. Where do I test it? Test it in the Word of God. God will not go contrary to his Word. So test it in the Word of God. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecy. Test all things. Hold fast. I'm going to get in trouble here too, but I don't care. Older and bolder, right? People say, well, I just know Jesus is going to hold on to me. He does. But let me tell you something. You got a responsibility to hold on to him. Well, why is that? Because your devil, the arch enemy, is after you to try to loose you from Jesus. So you got to do everything in your power while he's on. He'll never forsake you, never leave you. He'll stand by you close to any brother. But I'll guarantee you, you quench the Spirit, you get something between you and the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, you're out there and you're not holding fast. Hold fast. That means you know right and wrong, and you do right. Boy, verse 22 is really the one I want to talk about. Abstain from every form of evil. What's evil? Do I really have to tell you? I don't have to define what's evil. I don't have to define wrong to you. I've known little children who knew right and wrong. I've known grown folks who knew right and wrong still did wrong. We know what evil is. And if we want to have that peace in our heart that passes all understanding, we abstain from those things that are evil. We stay away. There are some things you have to stay away from. They are thieves and robbers of peace. And if you entertain those things in your life, if you quench the Spirit, if you defy prophecies, if you don't test things, if you don't hold fast to Jesus, if you don't abstain from the presence of evil, evil in this world will take you. You ever heard the term rededicate? It's not biblical as far as in the Hebrew it says or the Greek it says. But let me tell you, it's a concept. And sometimes that needs to happen in the lives of people who get way out there and realize, hey, man, I am a long ways from Jesus. I need to get back. And the beautiful thing about that, and you've heard me say it before, if you just turn around wherever you are, however distant you think you might be, however far away you are from the Lord Jesus Christ, however unsettled and unpeaceful in your life you feel, just turn around. And Jesus will be right there. He will embrace you and welcome you. Come what may, in the end, don't lose sight of this. When peace seems to be waning and the world seems to be winning, and I got a statement this week telling me that my Medicare supplemental was going up. And I never read all that fine print on the back of that thing. I figured it's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo that I wouldn't understand anyway, but I read this. I'm 69 years old. I was born a man, a boy child, in Huntsville, Texas, and I'm going out a boy child, okay? But on the back of this thing that I got from the insurance company, it says, if you change your gender, these rates will not apply. I got the rates solidified, man. Can you believe it? There's so many things in this world that will take our peace. There's so many things going on in our world that want to take our peace. But listen, God wants you to have peace. And listen, here's what I've decided. You don't have to agree with me. That's okay. Peace is an attitude. Peace is an attitude. Boy, listen, if you get an attitude with Jesus, it doesn't matter what Satan throws at you, you recognize that it's him. And you'll discover that the rule is God will rule in your heart. His peace will rule in your heart. Colossians chapter 3, Paul talks about, he's talking to the believers at Colossae. The bottom line is, allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Know that you know Jesus. Know that you're in tune and in touch with him. Know that you have your eyes on the Lord fully and completely. Know that Jesus said, peace I give you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus could very easily there, instead of saying, let not your heart be troubled, he could have said, don't let the devil mess with you. Don't let the devil mess with you. Allow the peace of God to rule in your heart. Peace is an attitude, and it's one that you acquire in relationship with Jesus. And once you know that you know him, you allow him to rule things in your life, it's amazing how peaceful things can be. Oh, there's times that I'm still like Moses. I hit the rock instead of speak. There's times I'm like David. I want to let the things of this world weigh me down. There's times I'm like Peter. When I look back on a situation, I think, you know what? I deny my Lord. There's times in my life when I fit all these things. I got to put every one of those shoes on. They fit me. But I want to tell you something. There's a coverall that I put on, not overalls, a coverall. Union all covers everything I am, and that's the blood of Jesus. Amen. And in the blood of Jesus, with my focus on the cross, my focus on Calvary, I will never, ever, ever be without the peace of God that passes all the understanding of the world. Peace. Is that your word? Get over it. Get beyond it. He wants you to have peace. Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for the opportunity that's been mine, Lord, to be your preacher. I thank you, God, for this crowd that's gathered here today. And, Lord, as we come now to offer this most important time of the service, Lord, as I extend an invitation to your people, God, to get in tune and in touch with you. Lord, some to be saved that have never been saved before. God, some who are distant, who need to draw back to you. And thank you, God, again for the promise that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. You will embrace us, Father. And Father, I pray for those that have decisions that ought to be made. Some, God, to come and be a part of this church because you've said do that, Lord. They would come by moving a letter. They'd come by statement of their faith. They'd come, Lord, by professing their faith in Jesus Christ and following believers' baptism. Father, would you just take this service, this message, the songs we sing, and do with them, God, as you see fit in the hearts and lives of people. I pray, God, for those that are not peaceful today to find that peace that passes all understanding. Come, Holy Spirit, continue with us in Jesus' name. Amen. So myself and the staff are down front. You come and pray. In these altars, come and pray with one of us. Come and do business with the Lord. Would you stand with me?